The eighth day is a very special day that is set apart from the feast days of the fall season of the year. It has special meaning for all of humanity. It is so spectacular in that everyone is given complete understanding that unlocks the misunderstandings that have disappointed everyone throughout all of humanity's existence. It is important today that you take special care in listening to all of the speakers intently throughout the day. They will guide you in understanding of all the information that they have taken time to gather and have been in prayer. Anytime a speaker gets up here, he takes time in prayer, sometimes in fasting, to get a clear understanding of what the Father wants to be reflected, not only in the people of God, but also as how we govern ourselves with each other and with the world. He gives strict parameters and standards to guide our way of how we handle ourselves in all circumstances. This morning, I want to give a very brief introduction into the explanation of the representation that this day offers to all of humanity. Our liberty of understanding has been given to us through the sacrifice of both the Father and His Son, Jesus the Christ, our Pascha, our Passover, with their gift to us, the Holy Spirit. It gives us a more complete understanding to an incomplete humanity. This holy day is a culmination from the author of our salvation, Jesus the Christ, which we now are given a small look into the completion towards the plan of salvation in the following scripture. Simply from the New King James Version, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Here we come to the foundation of the meaning of this day. It is Jesus the Christ who has always been in the center of all of the high holy days, including the Sabbath, the Lord of the Sabbath, that we observe. He finally brings rest to humanity along in their time to be judged, and I will repeat, not condemned. Judgment does not equate condemnation. And that will be brought out later today. With opportunity to be written in the book of life like ourselves. Their eyes will be finally opened, and the veil that has kept their understanding will be rendered in two, just as ours has been. They now will have complete access to the Father and the Son and be given understanding and life in an environment free from the influence of Satan for a short time period. Just think. You'll see your parents, your grandparents, and their parents, and so forth, as well as all the others that have lived and died and will die. This is such a huge blessing that both the Father and the Son have been working on for eons of time. This is why we do what we do and live what we live. The details of which will be given to you by the rest of the speakers today. Now let's change our course this morning. Every holy day season, we take up an offering as commanded in the Old Testament and other places, mainly in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 16:16 and 17, the verses 16 and 17. Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the feast on unleavened bread, at the feast of weeks, and at the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man, and for our sakes, every woman shall give as they are able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. I want to remind you of the story of the Israelites rebuilding the city of Jerusalem by way of Mr. Lewis's sermon on opening night. The joy of the restoration of Jerusalem was immensely emotional. When the people heard the law read to them by Ezra the prophet, when they heard the words of the law, they understood it immediately. They craved for it. They were in tears. They were absolutely joy-filled. Joy happens to be one of the fruits of God's Spirit, and that's something we have access to and we can pray for all the time. God gives us the access. This element of joy, although not as intent, should be in our hearts and minds because we are giving out offerings directly into the work of God, so that many more can have what we have and live a more engaged life with the Father and the Son. The Father always chooses the best time for all to know him. That's his plan, and we have an integral part of participating with him and with his Son to extend that out to the rest of humanity. That's the way it has always been planned. And as Mr. Robin Weller has stated many times, during the Feast of Tabernacles on the West Coast, we share the joy that once was given to us so that many more can be brought into the family of God, just as Ezra, Nehemiah, and the rest of Judah did when they were finally brought back to their home in Jerusalem.